What is good, everyone? This is your host, Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast. To live your best life, you must live label free. As always, bring incredible guests from all over the world. So sit back, relax, and tune in. My next guest is a visionary entrepreneur, a Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and the CEO and founder of Franchise Maven. Please welcome Greg Moore. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deanna. It's an honor to be here today.
It's an honor to have you. So tell us what Franchise Maven is and how it started.
Franchise Maven, I'm a franchise consultant. And what we do is we help aspiring entrepreneurs get into the franchising business when they don't know where to go or how to start. It's very confusing. So it all got started back when I first got a franchise.
Okay.
Back on my very first franchise was a Schooley Mitchell telecommunications consulting franchise. But when I first got out of the corporate world, I wanted to get into franchising because I had been in there back in my high school days. I worked at Taco Bell for a master franchise and really loved that. So when I got out of the corporate world and decided the corporate world thing is just not for me, I
started
franchise. So I went click happy and just got clicking all over the internet and got all these different franchise development people calling me. And I finally found a franchise consultant. Didn't even know they existed at the time. And they helped me just immensely just narrow down that field of possibilities, made it a whole lot less confusing. Great step-by-step process.
Yeah.
Found me a nice franchise. So I got into that. But I started thinking about what they did. And I thought, you know, that's very interesting. You know, nobody knows they exist out there and they really help people out. And we don't charge for our services. The franchisors pay us a referral fee. If you decide to invest in one of the franchises we introduce you to. And I work with about 500 different franchises. But it's just a really fascinating process that we take people through and really help them get to know themselves and kind of figure out what would be the good or the best franchise for them to get into.
Sure. And now I know when we had our original intro call, we had talked a little bit about the different options. Like you can start off with a much smaller franchise. You mentioned like their service base. There's many different ones depending on the level of, I guess, financial commitment to get one started.
That's correct, Deanna. Most people, you know, when we're driving around, you and I are driving around, what we see out there is a big McDonald's, Taco Bell.
Right. Yeah.
So we are thinking, you know, full-time investment, you know, $1 million investment, but that's just not the case. Those are the brick and mortar franchises, which do require a little bit larger investment. Service industry, as you indicated, Deanna, are a lot less. Generally, $100,000, $150,000 total investment on that one. Small office sometimes where you can work from home and you can go out and visit with your clients rather than them coming to see you. So much smaller investment. And it really doesn't matter, you know, services industry or brick and mortar, as far as how much money you can make. They're all really good money makers out there.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. They have so many different options. Now, why would this be a good option for someone who is looking to become an entrepreneur and maybe the corporate world is not such a good fit for them?
You really get to take control of your own life when you do that. And then you don't have to come up with the latest, greatest, best, next idea on that one. You've got a playbook right there that the franchisor is going to give to you and say, this is what we've done in the past to make this business successful. You follow this playbook and your chances of success are just that much greater. And then the more franchises they have, the more that they've, you know, replicated it in different cities and different states, you get a good feeling then of the fact that they can, you know, replicate it. But really what you're getting into there is you're getting that playbook, step-by-step instructions, never wondering, what do I do next on that? You got that franchisor going to help you, and you got all those other franchisees that don't compete with each other are going to help you grow that business as well.
Wow, that's awesome. So it's almost like a kind of a ticket to success in a way.
Exactly, Dan.
Yeah. Now, what about growing? So now demographics, right? So that's a big thing when you are going to open up a business, specifically brick and mortar. Now, do they help, specific franchises help you figure out what would be a good area per the demographic for that franchise?
Absolutely. Before I even show you a franchise, what we're going to do, the franchisor and I, what we're going to take a look at is what are the demographics in your area on that?
Okay.
How they pertain. So the franchise already has exactly what they're looking for in demographics. So if it's a service industry, they're probably looking for household income of $100,000 or more, $100,000 more dollars. And then they're looking for a couple hundred thousand households that have that sort of income, because they're the ones that are going to have the income to utilize your services. Now, it's going to vary a little bit depending on what kind of services they offer, but that's what they're looking at. So before I even present something to you, I'm going to go to the franchisor and say, this is where Deanna lives. This is her zip code. We both of us want to keep it within, you know, 30 to 60 mile radius of where he lives, so you don't have to go too far. What do the demographics look like in that area? So if I were to come to them and say, you know, what do the demographics look like in my area for something like that, they'd say, well, Greg, you're going to have a 100-mile radius before you can get even close to enough households, so it's just not going to work in your area.
Yeah.
They will tell me if it's going to work in your area or not based on the demographics, whether it be brick and mortar or services industry, either one. They all have the demographics laid out on that.
Sure. Now, when it comes to like building a client base, are you specifically responsible for creating the marketing around that, or do they have a marketing plan for their franchisees? Right, I say that right?
You did, see, honey, you did. Great question. And they've got everything in place. Yeah. They've got marketing. They've got the brochures laid out. Everything that you need to do, who to market to, how to market to them, how to talk to them once you get them on the phone. And a lot of them will have the call centers as well. If you're looking at the service industry, a lot of them will do call centers and they'll do that. But they'll have that entire plan, all the marketing material laid out. All you need to do is pay for it.
Okay. And that's part of probably your contract with them, right? Or no, is that something separate?
No, that's exactly it. So we'd be looking through your franchise disclosure documents and be looking for your franchise agreement in there. And all of that will be laid out for you, exactly what they're going to provide for you on that. So you, so good and bad points, you know, franchise versus a privately owned business. You get a privately owned business, you do everything yourself. It's all yours. Yeah. You get all the money, everything yourself, you do it. Great, if that's what you want. If you want somebody to help you with that and have all that information, like you indicated, Deanna, that marketing material already laid out for you, that plan of action, you're going to pay for it. Generally speaking, a franchise fee is around $50,000, whatever franchise you get into, give or take.
Okay.
One time fee on that. And then ongoing royalties are generally between 5 and 10%. Keeps the franchise in business. It gives them incentive to lift you up and have you grow more. So the more you grow, the more money you make, the more money they make. So you'll have all that material, have all that marketing things in there, but you do pay for it. So
what's good, everyone? This is your host, Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast. So I'm very much into my vitality, my health and wellness, fitness, all those things. So I love the telehealth concierge services. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those, but there's an online telehealth resource to help you with your health and wellness, sexual health, weight loss, peptides, what have you. And I really enjoyed the last therapy I did with them. This time I'm doing weight loss, you guys, because I've been a little bit slowing down here at this age, and I'm looking for something to boost that metabolism. I highly recommend Valhalla Vitality. I have a discount code for you, Deanna15, and I will have the link in the description below for you to go sign up. Check them out. Get your appointment scheduled. You'll have a meeting with a great telehealth doctor, supervisor, consultant that will walk you through what it is that you're looking for to improve in your vitality. Again, this is Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast, and I'm here to endorse Valhalla Vitality. What is the typical rate of return on investment with a franchise?
That's going to vary, Deanna, by franchise itself on that different one. So once you, when you're in the brick and mortar space, you're probably not looking at more by like, you know, 15, 20%, depending on the franchise itself. Okay. There's a lot of services industries, though, that will go up even higher than that, 50 to 90% return on investment on those. So each one is going to vary a little bit. You get a little bit better return on investment with the services industry franchises, just because you don't have a lot of overhead with those. So the brick and mortar, you've got some, you know, a lot of fixed costs, your rent, you know, or your lease, electricity, all those sort of things. So your return is going to be a little bit less on those, probably a little bit longer to get your money back, but it really depends on the franchise itself. When you look in the service industry, a lot of them, if you go out there and you don't need a lot of equipment, like leather, vinyl, plastic repair type franchises that go out there, they do upwards of 90% return on investment because it's mostly your labor, or people you hire, their labor that's doing it. And if you do it yourself and you like doing things yourself and you like working with your hands and doing that sort of thing, then you don't have a lot of overhead other than your vehicle, a vehicle wrap, and then you just go out and visit with them. Repair their, you know, every business, everybody has leather, vinyl, plastic to repair on that one. So that one's a huge one for a good return on investment. Each one's going to vary a little bit, but service industry, I generally see, you know, easily 25, 30% on up for the majority of those. Brick and mortar, a little bit less.
Yeah.
20% or so on those.
That's huge. That's a pretty good rate of return.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Now, I've heard that the Chick-fil-A franchise is a really good one to get into, but they own the building. So are there other franchises that are kind of like that? I don't know if that's true or not, but that was something that was very interesting to me. My husband actually wanted us to look into doing our Chick-fil-A. It is a very, you know, it's a very like tedious process to get set up and go through the training and what their requirements are of you. But I mean, that's what we were told, is that they will help you find your brick and mortar, but they own the building. And it was only $10,000 to start the franchise.
So Chick-fil-A is very interesting. I met the folks at Chick-fil-A, and I met people that, you know, are franchisees of Chick-fil-A. Very, very nice people. Very, you know, very
passionate.
Great lifestyle. Great business where you make a lot of money. They are the only ones that I know of. And granted, there's 5,000 franchises out there in the U.S. today. Now I work with 500 of them, so I don't know them all. But
okay. They
are the only ones where you're actually, that $10,000 that you're putting into is you're buying yourself a job, basically, is what you're doing.
Right. Okay.
You don't own anything. They don't help you find the location. They find the location, and they tell you that's your location. That's where you're going to go to work. You're going to go to work there Monday through Saturday, six days a week, and you're going to work in the business. At the end of the day, you have nothing to sell because it's not yours. It's theirs.
Right.
Very good job. Very good paying job. But no other franchise that I'm aware of does that. All the other franchises that I work with is you are leasing their business model.
Right.
Everything else is yours on there.
Uh-huh.
So the ones that are brick and mortar, they do have a real estate team that'll go out there and find different locations for you. They'll find probably two or three locations that are a good fit on that. And you want that in a good brick and mortar franchise.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not a real estate person necessarily. And they also do the lease negotiations. But that everything else that you invest in, you spend your money on it. So with Chick-fil-A, that's $10,000 and they do everything else. With a franchise, they'll find the location to do that, but you pay for everything else. So that's where, you know, you're looking at $250,000-$300,000 or more to get that location. But at the end of the day, when you decide, or if you decide you want to sell it, now you can sell that business for a huge profit, usually three times net plus any kind of equipment that you have in there. And in the meantime, you can get a lot of money with them as well. So big difference between Chick-fil-A and most great people at Chick-fil-A. Love them. They're good people. The franchisees are very happy, but it is just a job.
And good product, too.
Not a good taste.
So how do you help someone figure out what is a good fit for them? Because there has to be a lot of different factors that come into play, not only the financial aspect, like what they have to, like their seed money to get something started, but also like what would fit with their personality and their expertise or their talents that they might have.
Yeah, great question, Deanna. What we do is we start off with by looking at where have you been?
Yeah.
Where have you been is what do you bring to the table? What's your background on that? What's your skill set? Where are you at now? Are you looking to get into something full time? Do you want to keep a day job or keep your other business or run a semi-absentee? So we're looking at time investment. How much time do you have? How much time do you want to invest in that franchise? Where are you at this point in time? Leave the job, stay with the job. We look at that. And then we look at where do you want to be 5 to 10 years from now? What are you looking to see that franchise provide you with on that? Now, then we go through various different kinds of industries. Most people don't know what they want, but quite a few of them know what they don't want. So rather than ask them, you know, what are you looking for in a particular industry, I just start off with what do you want to stay away from? What do you do not like on that? And then we'll look at other factors in that. How many employees? Do you like working with a lot of employees, few employees? Do you like skilled labor? Do you like unskilled labor? Does it matter? Do you like services industry, brick and mortar industry? You know, does it matter? So there's many different factors that we'll take a look at there. The big ones, of course, are each franchise has requirements for financials. So first, you have to take a look at what your net worth is, what kind of cash you have. And then once we do that, then we start going into the more deeper options on that one. But I have the first call is generally just get to know each other. You ask me anything you want. I make certain that your expectations of a franchise are reasonable to begin with on that. And you're not looking to get to, you know, become a millionaire in the first year. And then the second phone call, what I'll do is I'll send out a questionnaire, ask a lot of different questions about them. And then we'll just talk about them. I'll just talk about you, Deanna, for a half hour, talk about all these things about, you know, where you've been, where you're at, what do you want to be, likes, dislikes, that sort of thing. And that helps me narrow down that field of the 500 franchises that I work with down to about 5 or 10 opportunities that I know the franchisors are looking for people like you. And then we get I know you're looking for franchises like them. And then what I do is I just do the matchup on that. Again, back to what you're talking about with demographics, looking at the demographics on there as well, make sure it fits. Each franchise gives a protected territory, so we want to make sure the territory is available in your area. I do a lot of different things behind the scenes there after I gather all that information from my clients.
Nice. I love that. Is there ever been a situation where a franchise has denied someone where they didn't think that was going to be a good fit?
Yes, it goes both ways. A franchise will deny, and people will also at the same time, they'll say no to the franchise. But franchises will, as they're going through the process, I can do most of the things up front. So when I present the franchises to you, you know, it's a good fit on that, yeah, on both sides. But as you delve deeper into it, sometimes the franchise will see things that just not quite right for that franchise. And they will tell them, you know, thank you, but you're just not quite the right fit that we're looking for on that. And which is what you want. You want those franchises to be very selective, but you don't want them just trying to sell you anything. They are really trying to find that best fit just the same way as you are, because they don't want you to fail. Doesn't look good, because it'll show up on the franchise disclosure document that you failed, which is not good on that. And of course, you know, you lose money and they lose credibility, and it's not good all around. They are very particular about who they bring into their franchises.
How many franchises do you have? Do you have more than one now?
No, I just have the one. I had, back when I was in the engineering field, I did have a private business. I had dry cleaners, I had storage units, I had rental properties, engineering job. Those were all private businesses. Once I got out of the engineering job, and I went in with a partner on those. I sold him my share of the partnership on that one. I got into a telecommunications consulting franchise, and I was doing the telecommunication consulting and the consulting franchise consulting at the same time. But then the franchise consulting business got so busy that I sold off that telecommunication consulting franchise. Now I just solely just do consulting on this one as well. Yeah, out of trouble.
I bet. I think that's fascinating. Like, we were talking about franchises. I was out by my sister's house, and one of her friends has a, oh my gosh, Anytime Fitness, which is a franchise. And she's in the process of building a coffee franchise. I forget the name of it. It's something out here in the Midwest. And she was kind of going through the process and like what it took her to get to where she's at. And just, I was fascinated. I think I was like, oh my gosh. And then she's talking about starting a car wash. And I'm like, well, if you're not going to start the car garage, maybe we should start the car wash. But that is very, it takes almost 2 years, supposedly, from what I understood, to build a car wash and get it started.
Yeah, the brick and mortars may take a little while longer, depending on what they are. So that's the other thing, is with the services industry, you can start right away, right after training, because you can either work from home or, you know, just a small office, easy to get. With a brick and mortar, you've got a little bit more of a build out. You have to find that real estate location first, and then you have to put the infrastructure in there to get it done. So those do take a little while longer.
Could you share maybe a success story of a client that you worked with or consulted that perhaps was in corporate or not in corporate, and you took them through the process and they started their franchise, and what that looked like for them at the end?
So I had a couple of people that were real estate investors on that. And they came to me, and they were actually looking for a brick and mortar franchise on that. They were actually looking for a brewery is what they wanted on that. So we went through the same process that I told you about, you know, look at where have you been, where are you at now, where do you want to be? And so we took a look at the brick and mortar and the brewery, as a matter of fact, and then based on their real estate experience, I thought, well, you know, you've got experience with that based on what you've been telling me about what your likes and dislikes are. Why don't we take a look at a few of the services industries as well on that one? And as it turned out, what they ended up looking at was an electrical services franchise. Real estate investors they worked with. So we looked at heating and air conditioning. We looked at plumbing and electrical services, because they dealt with these people on a regular basis. They didn't know anything about them, but since they were in real estate, they've dealt with them before, so they're familiar with them on that. And they're not too familiar with breweries, because they never ran a brewery before, except for going in there and
having fun.
Which is a whole lot different than owning one. And they looked at the cost of that, what it was going to take to get one of those built out, and the return on investment on that. And it was Ben and Trisha, and you know, it was mostly me and Ben talking. Trisha was in the background a little bit. But they were going to run this electrical services business semi-passive. So we're looking at the different ones, so plumbing, the air conditioning, the electrical services, And we finally got it narrowed down to electrical services. I like that one. They're going to do that one semi-passive. And then the very Marisha steps up and she says, you know, we're not going to run the semi-passive. I'm going to take over that business. I could run this business myself. So they ended up doing that. And now they, and that was, I think that was early part of last year. And now they're on their way to become rookies of the year in their electrical services franchise. Trisha just loves it, running the business herself.
Wow, that's very cool. I love it. That's a great story. They were interested in one thing and they and ended up turning out to be something completely different. So that's why it's very important to work with someone like yourself. So can you please tell someone where they can find you, connect with you, and learn more about potentially starting a franchise with Franchise Maven?
You can go to my website, franchisemaven.com. That's franchise, M-A, excuse me, M-A-V as in Victor, E-N.com. Email me at greg@franchisemaven.com. Or just pick up the phone and give me a call at 361-772-6401.
Excellent. You guys, we'll put the contact information in the show notes. So if you are interested in continuing the conversation with Greg and understanding a little bit more about the franchise process, don't hesitate to reach out. He's obviously a wealth of information and is able to steer you in the right direction, especially if you're looking to becoming an entrepreneur. Greg, this is the part of the show where I like to ask for last words of wisdom or advice. What would you like to leave with us today?
Two ways to invest in the franchise. Use your own money or use other people's money. Many different ways to do both. On that one, I use my own money, 401k rollover that I did with mine. But we have many different ways where you can fund that business through our funding partners. Funding a franchise is simple and easy. Those franchises have a proven record of success. That part's simple. All it comes down to is your credit. As long as you have around probably 680, 700 or more, we can get you funding for that franchise.
Wow, that's interesting. Good to know. Well, Greg, thank you so much for sharing what you do. I love it. I think that having a franchise is probably a great way to become an entrepreneur with a 100% success plan, because sometimes when entrepreneurs start a business, they don't know exactly what they're doing. And it doesn't always end up the way they think it's going to end up. So this is a great option. So we appreciate you and all that you do.
Thank you for having me today, Deanna. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys, this is your host, Deanna Radulescu with Label Free Podcast. To live your best life, you must live label free. As always, don't forget to subscribe, follow, rate, review, comment, share, all those good things. And I'll be back soon with more dynamic guests.